The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul.
It does.
It does settle in your soul.
It does. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. This is Terry Raposa and Wynn Carpenter. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. How about you, my friend?
Doing good.
Good.
We are Jefferson State of Mine, M-I-N-E.
Mine.
Ours, mine.
Yep.
And we are broadcasting live from KCNR Studios in downtown Reading, 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better, and 1460 AM, your talk radio. And you can listen to us because we are streaming live all over the world at KCNR1460.com. And we also have archives, so you can go back and listen to our programs, past programs right on the KCNR website. Just go to programming, hit Jefferson State of Mine, M-I-N-E, and you can go back to archives forever and ever and ever, because they are a million of them. Anyway, we have a what we think is going to be an informative show today. If you have any questions or comments, the phone number is 530-605-4567, 605-4567.
That's one option. The other option is keep them to yourself.
That is another option.
Sorry.
On the other hand. So anyway, this morning, you know, we're looking at with Shasta County here in January of 2023. We have two new supervisors. We have Tim Garman, who became the supervisor for District 2, and he was elected when Leonard Modi was
recalled.
And
he was voted to leave.
Yes, he was. A lot of changes going on, and a lot of people have talked about their central committees, the Republican central committees in each county. And Wynn and I had the privilege to go down to Yolo County, and we went down there. We had a meeting with a bunch of folks from across the state of California. I think just about all of them had ran for an office, whether it be Board of Supervisors all the way up to governor.
Right.
And we met the Republican Central Committee chairman there at that meeting. He was there kind of hanging out because it was their building.
Yep.
What a neat guy. And my partner here talked with him for, gosh, I don't know, about an hour and a half. And it was great because Wynn was, you know, getting a lot of information on what Yolo County really did to turn around the Republican Central Committee. Now, many people, you know, there's a misnomer out there that people don't like the Republican Party. The Republican Party is bad, blah, 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 blah. Point being is that I think everyone likes the platform. Well, not everyone, but conservatives do like the platform of the Republican Party. They just don't really like the implementation of it, of the people we elect. It seems like they don't follow their own platform. Where on the Democrat side, you can at least say they sure do. So there are some changes that are going on. It seems to be a sweeping thing, especially in the northern counties. And my good friend here, Wynn Carpenter, is on the Republican Central Committee, and he serves for District 3.
I do.
And there was a meeting Thursday night. And Wynn, can you kind of give us an update on things as far as there were some changes, there were some good things happening in the Republican Central Committee in Shasta County. So take it away, my friend.
Yeah. Well, we have a good committee there, great people wanting to do the right thing and moving forward and electing. And the sole purpose of the Republican Central Committee is to find, endorse, and elect Republicans. And that is the goal. As long as they follow the ideals, and as long as that's what the platform and so forth, and aren't speaking out both sides of their mouth and being underhanded and yada yada yada, the list goes on. So, being on the committee, being one of 21 voting members of the committee for Shasta County, I take it as a big responsibility. I mean, I got into the position, and I make sure that I do what I can to help promote that. And in doing so, we decided this last year that we needed to do some basic housekeeping, cleaning things up, because we just weren't getting the data and the information that we knew we needed to have as a functional committee. Not dysfunctional, but a functional committee. And in doing so, we thought, okay, the best place to start is our bylaws. So we finally got a copy of the bylaws, because nobody seemed to have one. We finally got a copy of it. And that goes back to the record keeping of years past. And that goes back to prior members not being willing or able to share the information with anybody. And so it took some digging, but we finally got the bylaws. And we started looking at them, and they were a hot mess. So those are the things that we were operating under. So in order to get everything cleaned up and straightened out and strengthened, as you do a foundation for any structure that you would build, you want to get the bylaws under control. So we started there. And we've been working on it for a couple months now, and we found by going through the process of that, just the language, basic language within the bylaws weren't clear enough. They didn't dictate what needs to be done and how to do it. We found that it would refer to election code. Well, the election code in California is ever changing. And so it would cite it according to one date and time, and then you go to the website, the state legislative website, to find out what the election code and how it reads. And either it's not there altogether, it's been removed, or it's been changed, and the way it's been changed and edited would be totally counter to the Republican ideals. So we've been looking at that, going through the process, line by line, word by word, making sure that we're addressing the issues as we go through the process to clean it up so we can have a functional foundation for our organization. And in doing so, we found that several of our members were appointed, because in the midst of you're supposed to be elected into the position. You get signatures from people within your district. If you say, I live in District 3, I would collect signatures from people there, submit those signatures to the Registrar of Voters office, and you can only have so many signatures on there, and then they verify them, and then you would be put on the ballot. Well, lo and behold, a handful of us did that when the time was right back in 2000. Let's see where we're now. We're 22. So it was 18, I believe, 17, 18, somewhere in there. I can't remember the exact date, so don't quote me, please. But anyway, we did everything we were supposed to do. We submitted it to the ROV office, and we were expecting to be on the ballot. Well, a couple of the members were able to get on the ballot because every one of the signatures they submitted were correct, and they were within their district. A handful of us submitted those, and lo and behold, some of those people that we had signed on our ballot, on our statements, were found to be invalid for the Registrar of Voters. And so what that tells you is that they're either not voting public from that particular district that you're running in.
So they were not representing the districts that
correct.
They live in.
Correct.
Gotcha.
They're
Go
not
ahead.
Voting in that district.
Okay.
And some of those were legitimate,
okay.
And others were not to be legitimately taken off the list. I had several on there, and five of mine got kicked off. So I went back to those people and asked them for clarification to make sure that I knew exactly where they lived, did the search, and they were in my district, but it was too late by then. So I wouldn't be
what
on.
What does that mean?
That means I wouldn't be on the ballot.
Gotcha.
So I just had to wait it out. And at that point, I just kept all my documentation, set it aside, because there was no way I was going to be able to fight the ROV office as an individual, right? Okay. Well, so down the road, when we had our first meeting of the year, we had to hold elections. We only had three people that were able to get on to the ROV, onto the committee, going through the election process. There were already some already there, but then through the election process, there were only three people able to get on, and they got on, so they were, you know, legitimately elected by people from their district. The rest of us, we had to get appointed by those said people, plus the other handful of people that were already on. So we had to go through that process. So with the appointment, you are elected. So with the committee, the voting members would either vote you in or vote you out, depending on, you know, whatever happened there. So we got most of us in there. Or well, all of us got voted in, so we filled all the spots. And we have three spots on the committee that are ex officio spots. So we have three members, one of each, one person representing Congress, one representing Senate, one representing the Assembly.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And typically those are staffers.
You're talking about state Senate.
State Senate.
And okay, go ahead.
Yeah. And so you go through that process and just add all those positions up, if you will, and it doesn't matter who holds them, it's just adding those up, and then you have a collective group of voting members of 21. And then each one of the members can have an alternate. Hmm. So I can have an alternate for my district. So there are several of us that can have alternates, and we've been working on that as well.
So there could be as many as 42 people involved.
No, there would be 21 plus the 18. So, 21. Yeah, 21 plus the 18, so it would be 39, because the ex officios do not get an alternate.
Got it.
Yeah.
Thank you. Go ahead.
So that's how that works for that part of the process.
Okay.
So we could have as many as that. Well, we haven't had that because we have things had kind of gotten messy, and we were trying to get things under direction and get things moving forward. And we kept hitting roadblock.
Well, what do you mean by roadblocks? I mean,
just being told no, we didn't have the information, or they're going to get the information to us. The former leadership of the committee.
Gotcha. Go ahead.
And so we would ask for stuff, and they say, oh, well, they'd look into it. And then it just got delayed, and you only meet once a month, right? So it's easy to push things out. And then you have COVID, and then you have all this other stuff that's going on. So it was just a hot mess for our group. And we collectively decided that, you know what, we need to fix them things. Everybody knew something had to be dealt with, and that's why we started with the bylaws. They said everybody agreed, yes, let's start with the bylaws, get that going. So we formed a subcommittee of the committee to work on the bylaws, and we've got a great team of people on that, and very smart, knowledgeable, and we're following the path wherever it takes us. We're not giving it direction and making it come to us. We're following the path of the law. We're following the election code, and we're following the ideals of what the Republican Party platform is set to be. So in doing that, we have found that we've got a bunch of hiccups in there that we're trying to clean up. So in doing that, we go through one of the basic things that it says in the bylaws that we need to address is affirming residency for every member. So you have to affirm and make sure that you know that John Q. Public in District 3 lives at the location as reported. And so we did that, and we're doing that. And so we went, and when in going through that process, we have found most of the members did actually reside in the address or addresses that were reported, but we had a handful of them that did not. And they were appointed to a district. Say one person was appointed to District 2, but they actually lived in District 3, and then they sold their house in District 3 and actually moved to District 5. So
wow.
You're trying to find, you know, okay, sure. where the legitimacy is with all this stuff. So it was truly a painstaking, detail-oriented map quest find on trying to get these things done. And you have to know the timeline, too, because everything's based on the census. So we are operating under the 2010 census. So at effective 2011, those are the addresses wherever you were at that time. Those are the addresses that need to be used until the census changed again for 2020, which rolled out for 21. But you have to have the presidential election mix in there as well. So there are dates that you have to work with, and you have to – it's a mental exercise.
You get the continuity of who's supposed to be where.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
Exactly.
Okay.
And it's not just simple to say, oh, you go here, you go there. It's not that simple.
No,
you have to go through
like
each individual, and you have to analyze where they are and where they should be. And then you have the Board of Supervisors, the former Board of Supervisors, not the folks that we have on there with the exception of one. No, there were two. They changed the lines of the districts here in Shasta County, remember?
Yes.
So that added a mix of a mess into it as well.
Wow.
And that just slapped us in the face as well. So you're trying, because we thought in the beginning.
Is this unique to us as a county as far as this rigmarole, or is this happened to every county, or were we the only one that redistricted? Or
I don't know about other counties redistricting, right. But the redistricting is huge. That's
gotcha.
Huge.
Okay.
And so that's why we are going through the process. People say, well, I currently live in, you know, say District 5 when I used to live in District 2. Well, you haven't moved. You haven't changed your address. You haven't moved one box out of your house.
True.
So no, we have to go by where you were on this specific timeline, and that's the district that you represent until the next election, which will be after, you know, obviously, the current census that we have for 2020. So we have to hold on until that rolls around. And this, and it took us a lot of mental acrobatics to figure this out. And also, you know, you talk to people at the state agencies and stuff to find out what's really going on. And just going through the process, making sure that we understand that we're what we're doing is correct.
What changes did you actually have to make during this meeting, and what changes were made that to comply with all of this?
Okay, well, the committee did all – we did all the work. We put it all together. We got it as good as we thought. We knew we needed to have it, and it made sense. We all understood where we were with it after all this – chaos, right? Well, we got where we needed to be, and then so we were having our monthly meeting, which we had on Thursday, and we let everybody know, you know, through the course of the process, you know, okay, guys, this is what we need to do, and this is why. And we, you know, just told everybody, okay, just hold questions and hold everything, and we're going to go through this exercise. And, you know, we reiterated, too, knowing that, you know, okay, you're just hearing it for the first time. You had no idea all of this was going on. They may have known something, but they didn't know to the extent at which it was. So we were careful about how we presented it to try to keep it as clear as possible. And everybody seemed to embrace what we were doing as far as making the change. And it wasn't anything that was out of the realm of possibility, because when we would explain, so-and-so lives in this district, but they're representing another district. And I even threw it out there, well, we're not going to pull a Maxine Waters where she lives in one district and she represents another here in California. Right. You know, that's been all over the media, but they still let her do it because that's what California does. We're better than that. We're not going to do that. We're going to represent the district in which we live and according to the rules that we have to comply with. So we went through that process explaining to everybody how that worked out. So we ended up having a handful of movement, people being moved around, actually, and just, you know, making sure that they understood what we were doing, and we talked it through. We went through every one of them, and there were some people, there were no change, like myself. My address was not affected by the line movement, and there were a handful of us like that. And then you had people that would move from, truly, they would sell their house, say they lived in District 5, and they moved to District 2, right? Mm-hmm. So they sell their house in one district, they buy another house in the other district. Well, they have to vacate that former district first. So on record, we have to have them. So
in other words, they have to re-register because they'd have to change
the address. Yes.
Gotcha.
Now, as long as you stay within the county, you're good. You can still be on the committee and you can represent in that district that you move to as long as there is a vacancy.
Right.
And so that's what we were finding out. And come to find out, we had several members on the committee that for various reasons, health and, you know, family and stuff like that, are electing not to participate anymore because they just can't do it. So we got that clarity first. They resigned.
Okay.
So we got that clarity first, so then we would know where the holes were in the very beginning, and then we would move through the process and find out who we could move to which district, and then making sure that everybody's okay with that, and then if there was another hole generated by them vacating that former district, which it did. So we're moving people around. It's like a puzzle, and we got it settled. And so we had a couple vacancies in different counties, districts, and so we went through that process. And then
fill those vacancies? Or
we did.
You did? Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. With existing people that were
correct
there. Go ahead.
And that also included alternates, because alternates are part of the group, and so if they choose to participate in the election to be voted into that district position.
I've got a question about the alternates.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you have an alternate, let's say, well, you have an alternate, okay, as a representative, are the alternates anything that has to be voted on, or is that the choice of the representative of the district?
That is the choice of the representative of the district. They can bring in whoever they want.
Gotcha.
And the members, you know, we typically, we all say yes, we're going to accept their choice. But we went even farther than that on Thursday because we wanted everything above board, by the book, and documented. Mm-hmm. Because we didn't have documentation from the past.
Wow.
So we were documenting up the wazoo, not only in our minutes, but also with the the paperwork that we have people sign. You know, like we have an alternate form. Say I'm going to have you come in and be my alternate. I fill out a particular form that I'm swearing to bring you. It's a formality anyway. I bring you in, your name and address and all that good stuff. And then we have it documented so that we know on record that I have an alternate. And then if I'm absent for any reason, I ask you to attend the meeting and you can vote in my stead.
Great.
So not only did you fill out, say, an alternate form, if you will, you also fill out the oath of office, and you swear it. You take a swear. We did a massive swear-in for the oath of office for every single person that was elected in or moved or what have you. And even some of the members that were already there, I didn't have paperwork from them being sworn in when they came in, so everybody did it. And so we made sure that we got it done and done right. And everybody felt really good about that because it rejuvenated the group on what we're doing and how we're doing it, why we're doing it, and that we're going to be moving forward. And we did have a couple casualties. Like my alternate was a casualty because, and I explained to my alternate when we found this out, I called them and said, hey, guess what?
You're not in the district, yeah.
You're not my district. And they said, what? Are you kidding? I said, no. We did the research and everything else, and because we researched everybody, like I said, and gotcha. It didn't matter who was there or not. And we did have some members that were casualties too, because they came in after other members that were moved around and so forth, so they got bumped out.
Okay, I've got a couple of questions for clarity before we hit the break, and that is that now the state senate has a representative there for the state senate, and that representative would be considered part of the Republican Central Committee.
Correct.
The Congress has one, and yep. The Assembly has one.
Correct.
Well, I know on the Republican Central Committee that I know Congress has at least four people in there, maybe not four, but three for sure, that actually work for the congressman, for Congressman LaMalfa. And I know the Senate, I don't know how many they have.
The Senate has three people in the group.
Three, and then the Assembly has.
Senate has two people, and then Assembly has two people.
Okay, so that's so you got two, and three. That's seven. So the rest of the 21 voting members, that would leave 14. That would be citizens. Now,
correct.
There are certain offices that are held in the Republican Central Committee. There's a treasurer, there's a chairman, a vice chairman, blah, 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 blah. In those, is it a regular practice that people who represent either the Senate or the Congress or the Assembly would be on that board in leadership over the citizenry?
They're not over it, but they can hold those offices. Yes, absolutely. They can hold
because
those
the chairman of the board, the when you said you were being blocked or that folks were not getting information, wouldn't that be up to the person who's the chairman?
That's correct.
Okay.
And so
what about the vice chairman? No word there?
It starts with the chair.
Starts with the chair.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead. Each one of those positions is elected from the body of the committee.
Okay.
So we vote in the chair, vote in the vice chair, vote in the treasurer, vote in
gotcha.
The secretary.
Okay.
And I currently hold the secretary position.
Okay.
And so going through that process, and that's what prompted me to ask all these questions because,
sure.
I'm reading this stuff and checking things out, and I don't have any data to check to find out what's what, who's where, and all that kind of stuff. And there was an assumption that I knew on certain things, and I don't assume anything. If it's black and white, I'll check it out.
Right.
I mean, I learned a long time ago, don't assume anything,
sure.
because, it just gets you in trouble. So that's when I started asking questions, and I was hitting roadblocks left and right. So Thursday night, our chairman, the chairperson, they decided to resign. So they handed in their letter of resignation, which prompted immediate election of a new chair. So we did a vote in a new chair, and everybody is tickle pink about the new chair.
Yeah, I heard he's a pretty good guy.
Yeah, so we're good about that. And so once we had him in place, then he after the vice chair took over when the chair resigned, then the vice chair was running the meeting for a moment, and then the chair with newly elected chair was elected in, and then he resumed running the meeting, and then we went through this process of cleaning this up and going to explain to everybody how we're going to do and how we're going to do it and what we're doing. And it was a process, but it worked, and it worked out well, and everybody was happy with it. We had secret ballots in a little piece of paper. You vote for whoever. They were counted by the treasurer and the secretary, and everything was totally auditable. We can audit us.
Very cool.
So if you want, not that we're going to throw it out there, but I mean, yes, the membership can audit us as if they choose to do that. But everybody knows what the numbers were because it was right there in front of them.
That's really great. And, Wynn, thank you so much for that, because I know a lot of people really don't understand how all that works. That was a really good explanation on a lot of stuff, a lot of clarity. I'm excited because I think that you guys can actually do some things to change it, to make it to where, what it's supposed to be.
Right, and I'm excited, too. Even though I lost a great alternate, I have another great alternate in the wings, and they said yes. So we're looking forward to this.
She always says yes. Anyway, folks, we're going to go off to our break. This is Jefferson State of Mind, and time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Almost cut my hair. It happened just the other day. Getting kind of long. I could have said it was in my way.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday nights, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
As we head into the new year, change is in the air, and we welcome Crossroads Auto Body Repair at 3045 Crossroads Drive. If the address sounds familiar, it's because owners Michelle and Jerry have been at the same location for over 12 years, and the business originally opened 27 years ago. Here's the thing. Michelle and Jerry know how important their customers are and wanted to offer you more personalized service. As the owners of Crossroads Auto Body Repair, they wanted to provide you with continued great service and add more value to your dollar. Now there's no need to wait so long for a free estimate. We'll get you back on the road. Call Crossroads Auto Body Repair at 530-226-0992. New name, same great service and more. Crossroads Auto Body Repair at 3045 Crossroads Drive. Call 530-226-0992. That's 530-226-0992.
Grab your girlfriends and your coworkers and join Shasta Regional Medical Center for the Go Reading Luncheon 2023, Friday, February 10th. This year's lineup of speakers are dynamic and inspirational. Grab a glass of champagne and shop vendor booths from local retailers and health educators. Learn about women's heart health information and get inspired in 2023. For sponsor information and tickets, go online to ShastaRegional.com. February 10th, Go Reading at the Holiday Inn. Doors open at 11 a.m.
Thank you. just what to do. Don't you? If I had ever been in before on another time around the wheel, I would probably know just how to deal.
We're gonna miss David Crosby. Miss David Crosby, back when I was even younger than Liam.
100 years ago.
Yeah. Well, see, I lived in Redwood City, and so we used to go over to La Honda and Puerto La Valley.
When they still had Redwoods there?
Yeah, when they still had Redwoods. And we went over there, and it was interesting times because Neil Young and Crosby and Nash, a lot of times they'd be over there and they'd be jamming. I remember going to this one little place and Neil Young was there, and it was really neat because when they do harmony, the harmony was very legitimate. It's kind of hard to tell from some of the old videos, but when they were on it, they were on it. Their harmony was amazing. Eaglish.
Mm-hmm.
Eaglish. Anyway, we are back. This is Terry Raposo and Wynn Carpenter with Jefferson State of Mind. M-I-N-E, which means it's ours.
Mine.
And again, if you want to call in, it's 530-605-4567. Well, what we're going to talk about now is the Board of Supervisors. And we have a Board of Supervisor meeting coming up on Tuesday. I would encourage people to go. And I believe that the Dominion machine
is going to be a topic for discussion.
Mm-hmm. It is. Because I think that the real issue here is, okay, do we get rid of the machine?
Yes.
The other part of that is, do we trust the machine?
No.
So when you have people, many people, and I know that Nick Gardner did a little survey on that, and most people wanted to get rid of it. I think all the people he talked to wanted to get rid of it. So when you have the majority of folks out there that really want to get rid of that machine, or at least have something to where you can audit it, right, Wynn? To where you can audit those results, because it isn't a matter of the machine or not the machine. It's the trust of the machine.
And I think it's the public trust. And the people programming and operating it, yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I know that was able to communicate with Dr. Doug Frank and Linda Payne, who's the president of Election Integrity Project in California. We've known Linda for a long time. Salem, I've known her since she first started. In fact, she would stay with us when she'd come up here and speak in Shasta County. She'd stay at her home with us. I think that these folks really have the expertise in what's going on. And mm-hmm. some of these counties that are just in deep doo-doo, some of the votes that came through, especially with Kathy Darling Allen, I mean, come on, you know,
yeah.
And not only that, but the thing is that I know that, that several times there was law enforcement called when nobody was really being, actually violent or anything like that. I mean, if somebody asks you a question you don't like, it isn't a reason to call on law enforcement or to attack people. And I think the thing is that, you know, we've heard so much about, you know, how, oh, you know, this person's attacking that person, this person's attacking that person, we're the victim, this is really bad, and things get blown out of proportion. And again, it goes back to really where is free speech, where is your constitutionally protected rights. And I think that we are going to have quite a change here in the first couple of months.
Absolutely.
With this Board of Supervisors.
They're cleaning house. They're doing everything else. They got to get things in order and get it operable and running like it's absolutely supposed to be doing.
Yeah, you know, I know that on the, I think, do you have a calendar there on your phone there, buddy?
I do.
Okay, can you go to February?
I can.
Okay, and go to, I think it's February 21st or 24th. What's that Tuesday? Oh, you expect me to see that?
The 21st. It's the third Tuesday of the month.
I believe that's a night meeting.
Yes. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Okay. So
and that starts at 5:30.
It starts at 5:30. So, again, this Board of Supervisors, they're doing several this year. I forget how many they said they were going to do, but I think that's important. I remember Joe Comente, who would always say, well, you know, I represent all my constituents, not just the people that show up here at the meeting. Well, you know, you have 150 people that took time off work, a lot of them, to come in there because they felt that it was important that we get our liberty back in our county,
mm-hmm.
and that the Board of Supervisors do the right things. And again, you know, So, well, okay, if that's the case and we're not hearing from everybody, Joe, then why don't you have night meetings? And, you know, he ran on that. And again, you know, that was pretty short-lived. In fact, I think his term was probably the, I'm trying to remember something memorable that he did during his time in office.
Something positive?
Just memorable. Well, maybe, I guess there is some things memorable. We got scolded every time.
Yeah,
anyway.
It felt like you were going to the woodshed
every time he opened
his mouth.
So, you know, and as we look at this now, I know that we did an interview on mountaintopmedia.com. Mountaintopmedia.com. And you can also find us on Facebook, which would be Jefferson State of Mind, M-I-N-E.
Rumble.
And Rumble. But you would go to Jefferson State of Mind, M-I-N-E, podcast. Because, of course, we do this radio program here. We interviewed both of the new supervisors. We interviewed Chris Kellstrom, who really and truly I've known Chris for a long time and know what a smart guy he is. But, I was surprised on how he adapted to this. He is like the young quarterback for the 49ers, Brock Purdy. He's the Brock Purdy of Shasta County. I mean, this guy gets in there, knows how to handle the offense, knows what he's doing, but not only that, brings his team from behind. So, Chris is doing this like he's done it forever. Kevin is energetic. He's ready to roll. He's passionate about things. And I don't think you're really going to find a harder worker than Kevin, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, he's out there doing it, yep.
And so, you know, and of course we have Tim Garman, who has just been, you know, someone who has been weighs things. I like his quiet demeanor. I like the fact that he does.
Oh, he's the opposite of you.
He is. And he's more like you. And he weighs things a little. He doesn't. Well, I don't fly off the handle as much anymore. You would have known me 30 years ago. Anyway, so. But getting back to Tim Garman, what a great addition he's been also. And then you have Patrick Jones, who has been an amazing statesman. Talk about growing into a job and something and the what he carries, you know. The load that he carries, I'm impressed with. I mean, he's always out there, doesn't waver from wanting to do the right thing, doesn't waver from his position of the people first, the people that elected him first, never wavers from that. That's pretty impressive. We've got some statesmen there. Then we have Mary. Yeah. Anyway. So I think that we're in for some new changes here, but you know, I think the city council also is some place that there needs to be some issues brought up.
And they need to deal with all the drama and garbage and the unfunded liabilities.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we, the taxpayers and rate users, for utilities or whatever, if you live within the city of Reading, we're paying for that. We're paying for everything.
And we're on the hook for it. See, that's the one thing people just don't understand.
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard a lot of people on city council. I remember Francie Sullivan making the comment, well, it's just like a house loan. Well, no, it's not. It's not like a house loan because the house loan actually has the opportunity where you can pay it off.
Yeah, you can own it at the end.
Yeah, you know, you actually can do that. And in this particular case, I mean, I'm not sure where the unfunded liability is now in the city of Reading, but I know Gary Cadd would probably know that. Or it is right now, but I mean,
whatever the number is, it's got lots of zeros behind it.
Yeah, I would think. Yeah, I think you're right, and I mean, it could be a billion with a B. I know it could be in the city. I mean, it could very well be, and I might even be low. But when you look at all this stuff, and you look at what's going on with the unfunded liability, and with it's sort of like when you have money in the bank and you're running your household, you spend the money that you have. To keep yourself within some sort of budget, unless you have unlimited money. The challenge is that some of these boards, like the city council, thinks that we have unlimited money because it's not their money. It's our money.
They're kind of like the mini version of Washington, D.C.
You think?
Yeah.
And so there's some changes that have to go on there. Now, I know the parking issue has really been something for downtown. I did talk to Mark Mazzano about that, and I had asked him, I said, it was sort of like a lot of the businesses were saying, we really want this. Well, that ended up not really being the case. The businesses did not want this. I mean, when you have, especially when they were moving every 2 hours, and from what I understand, they changed that you don't have to move every 2 hours. Maybe if somebody knows about that, they can call and let us know. But I did hear that at the last meeting, they said, well, no, you don't have to move your car every 2 hours, you know, before you get a ticket. You just have to keep feeding the machine, feeding the meter.
Or have a permit or whatever.
Well, the permit is for people who work.
Right.
Yeah, okay. And so, but I'm talking about tourists.
Because, oh, I see, gotcha.
You know, when you look at downtown Reading, they really have done a good job down there. It's going to be, you know, everybody's excited about that. We're excited about businesses coming in. We're excited about the businesses prospering. We're excited about having tourists come in and having a really neat place for people to bring their families. Well, you know, if you park downtown, you park there, and if you're parked especially on California Street,
yeah,
you've got, I mean, maybe 5 or 6 different places you want to go to from one parking space.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, you go to lunch, you know, then you do a little shopping, then you get the kids yogurt. By the time you get back, it could be 3 or 4 hours, and you got a ticket on your window
because
you didn't move your car in 2 hours. So I think they remedied that, I think. Don't know for sure, but that should be something that that they do remedy, and we just can't keep wanting to have Reading be a prosperous business community and keep thwarting business. You know, we can't continue on with the homeless being all over. I mean, it's only going to get worse during the summer, only because of the, especially the spring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get into April and May where the weather's decent,
yep.
And not really too hot yet. And I just really get perplexed at the thought process of some of the people we elect.
That goes back to being able to audit the elections to make sure that they indeed are the ones that were duly elected. Makes you wonder.
It does make you wonder. And so it's going to be exciting to see what happens there at the board. And I want to encourage people to go to their city council meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Start going, start listening. And I'm not saying everything they do is bad, neither is my partner. But what we are saying is that everything needs to be monitored. And
trust but verify?
Trust but verify, you know. And we have a couple people that were on there that aren't on there anymore. I would hope that we have just people who don't vacillate or are chameleons. They will go ahead and be happy to do whatever it takes to keep their friends or their position in business, if they have a business, or their position in the community. And I think that's a dangerous thing. I mean, I think it's dangerous for media. I think it's dangerous when media cares more about who they have wine with or where they go with the wine and cheese crowd or how important they are, or if they're the, mm-hmm. you know, if they're the, you know.
Well, a lot of them are
the prom king and queen of a town.
They're getting their palms greased from various organizations and committees and yada, yada, yada. So there, it's not about, for some of them, it definitely is not about the improvement of the community and what's best for the community. It's about them lining their pockets.
Well, it's that, and also, you know, the thing is that one thing we try to stay away from with this program is we try to stay away from the position of where we're talking about us, where we're talking about, oh, you know, we did this, or I did this, and I did that, and I did this, and I did that, and we did this, and we did that, and we went here, and we went there. What we want to bring, especially this year, is really solid information to the folks and give them an opportunity to see what's going on. Now, we're going to be doing a lot of podcasts on Mountaintop Media. We'll be boosting those. Those podcasts will be available to you folks, especially locally. And I think one of the things that we learned over COVID, maybe the most important thing we learned, is how much power the Board of Supervisors has, as far as elected officials in a lot of different positions in the county and what their jurisdiction is. And there's three words that we'll teach, and that's mm-hmm. jurisdiction. That means what you've got power over, what you're elected to do, what you can do or cannot do, and where that resides.
Your area of responsibility.
Your area of responsibility.
Yep.
This, and your area of decision making.
Yep.
Then you have interposition. That means when any agency or even the state of California or the federal government is obstructing the the rule of law and violating citizens' rights that they have protected by the Constitution. And by the way, for R.V. Scheid, I said inalienable rights, not alien rights, but it's okay. Oh, boy.
Those are out of this world, you know?
Oh, my gosh.
Or are they talking about aliens out of the country?
Alien rights, okay.
Well, alien rights coming from Mexico.
Another genius. Okay, so anyway, getting back to that, to interpose between that, that's the second thing when you have jurisdiction. And there's an oath taken in Article 20 of the California Constitution, which is an oath that Wynn just talked about a little while ago that he's had to take, mm-hmm. that you uphold the California Constitution and the United States Constitution. So you have that. So anything that's contrary to that, that's outside of those lines, and is not lawful.
Right.
And if that's the case, you interpose, like Sheriff Mack did, you know, in Arizona and New Mexico and blah, blah, blah. So there's that. And then you have a thing called nullification. Now, what's nullification? Well, we've all heard of nullified juries, right?
Right, right.
Nullification basically is saying, well, you can't do that anymore, but not only can you not do that anymore, but we're nullifying your position to do that, and we are nullifying the this particular law. This is bad law. We're going to nullify it. And I think the main thing that we're beginning to do as counties is we're understanding that you don't have to comply with a mandate. A mandate is not law. A mandate is only applicable when you're willing to do it.
You're willing to comply.
You're willing to comply.
Yep.
So I think there's a lot of things that are being taught and a lot of people that are learning this stuff, and I thank God for all the great young people and the mama bears and the papa bears and you young families that that got out there and during COVID stood up for your rights. But what I'm really impressed with is the fact that they did it in a way with so much courage. I mean, there was a lot of courage by those ladies who stood up. And at the Board of Supervisors meetings, a lot of dads were working. Of course, a lot of moms were working too.
Right, right.
But there'd be a lot of mama bears there, and many of them brought their children in.
And they're leading by example. They're showing their children what to do. When things aren't right, question it. And they're showing their children what to do. They're on record. They're on video forever. And so those kids are going to grow up hearing those words over and over again, seeing what mom or dad did or auntie, uncle, whoever, grandma, grandpa. They got to see what's going on there, and they're hearing what they're saying. So those kids are learning what to do and how to do it to be sovereign citizens of this great nation.
And the beauty of it is they're learning the Constitution. They're learning what their rights are, and they're standing, and they are really standing. I mean, I can think of dozens of moms that are my heroes because they stood up against tyranny, and there was so much tyrannical stuff. I mean, you say what you want, but Leonard Modi, I don't know. I mean, there was, I would say, a hair of tyranny there. So, you know, when we look at this stuff, I think it's important that we're able in the media to speak out about what is right and what is not right. I think that it's our obligation, and frankly, it's a duty. I mean, if you're going to cave on things because the road gets a little rough, then, you know, go do something else.
Suck it up, buttercup.
Yep, because the thing is that what we have to do is, as long as we keep things in a fashion, I mean, we try to keep them admirable. We don't, my wife and I had things written about us that aren't true. I mean, insane things. I mean, we even had somebody write that we were at the January 6th. I mean, you know, that that we helped plan it, you know? I mean, they're giving me a lot more credit than I deserve.
You did all that?
Oh, man. They don't know about me in flights. My idea of flying is getting into my car and putting on a seatbelt. So,
well, how about a zip line?
Oh, no, I don't like zip line. I don't like getting on the fourth rung of a ladder. So anyway, you know, the point is that, you know, there's a lot of things where somewhere along the line, you've got to stand up. You know, and Ben Franklin had a great saying during the Revolutionary War. He said that these fence sitters better be careful. Now, during the Revolutionary War, of course, many of the houses had fences in front, and I would say 99% of them were picket.
Picket fences, yep, with a point at the top.
Right. So that's what Ben Franklin said. He said, you know, hey, fence sitters better be careful that they don't get impaled.
Right.
And, you know, he had an interesting way of putting things. Those are his words, not ours. Mm-hmm. There is a ring of truth there. Where do you stand up? I mean, you don't tell somebody in private that you don't believe in this, and then you go on the air and say something else. You don't say in private that you do believe in this, and then go on the air and say something else.
Or vote that way.
Or vote that way.
You tell yeah. one person one thing, and then you go vote a different.
And we have so many challenges in the media, and I'm talking about media, you know, all the media. I mean, you know, Fox News, CNN, radio programs, local radio, you name it. And nobody's perfect in this. We do have to stand, though, for what is right and what we need to do to correct things that aren't right.
Yeah.
And, of course, there may be a view on that. There's always been a thing that is, well, it's your truth and my truth. Well, that's ridiculous. No, there's only the truth.
The truth.
I mean, yeah, you know, I mean, come on, there's the truth. That's all there is to it. Your truth, my truth, or, you know, all these little flippant sayings, you know. And I think that many, many people are getting tired of the innuendo. Many people are getting tired of the fact that people won't stand up and just say it. And sometimes when folks say it, maybe they don't say it in the proper way or in a way that they should. But what happens is they get chastised for it. And I think that when that happens, I think that there is some things that there could be, you know, basic, you know, clarity for, or things that are, you know, you know, I think things can be exaggerated, but anything can be exaggerated in this day and age. But we can't be fearful. We can't continue to be fearful. And talking about not being fearful, Lori's on the line. How are you, Lori?
Good morning, Lori.
Good morning, Wynn and Terry. Hey, real quick.
Yeah, we got 3 minutes.
Yep. I think when you share and tell people about all these upcoming meetings, whether it's city council, board of supervisors, or the many school district meetings, you folks, if you have never been to a meeting, start watching them first if you can.
Yep.
Because you are going to have to be noble, brave, confident, some thick skin. And I tell you what, there's so the local fake news is pervasive. We all know the one that's constantly just nauseating, and it's nothing but a gossip rag. Okay? You know, people tease around and call it news crap, hey, whatever. What I would like to say is, if people are afraid of being in public, you can always call our tip line hotline, Shasta County Citizen Journalists. You can be anonymous. So if you absolutely cannot bring yourself physically to these meetings, unfortunately, there's sometimes in the day. We're trying to change that and turn it around. But when they're at night, please try to at least be there at present. Sometimes people will get up and go, I wasn't planning to say anything, and there they are at the podium. It can happen. The spirit of all righteousness and truth will take over your vocal cords. So in closing, I'll give you our Shasta County Citizen Journalist number. It's 530-962-5168, and we only cover local.
Can you do that again, Lori?
I sure will. It's 530-962-5168, and we only cover local fraud and corruption. We do not cover recipes. We don't address the bird of the month. No. This is just the stuff that has been horribly impacting every level of government and business. So we are going to clean house. The budgets are going to be addressed. Audits. When you've mentioned this many times. So thank you both. You guys have just been awesome. I appreciate it.
All righty. Well, thank you, Lori.
Thank you, Lori.
So it looks like we're down to the last minute.
We are. So, folks, we just encourage you to go to Mountaintop Media, mountaintopmedia.com. Go to the podcast area there. Listen to the programs. There is Jefferson State of Mind, M-I-N-E. There is Patriot State of Mind. Excellent program. And, of course, our good friends Mark and Linda Kent on Sovereign Minds. They also have their podcast there. You'll be hearing more and more and more about that. And the accessibility is going to be amazing. So remember, time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
We all have to pay. It's not our bill. We had no say. You don't serve us. You serve LA. The time has come for 51. In a Jefferson state of mind. You don't know us.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.